بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 23rd session, reading from the Sharh or explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and the commentary of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Tonight, we're going to continue with the chapter that we started last week. Basically, last week we read the text of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and the beginning of the explanation or commentary of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to finish the commentary, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So before we do that, we're going to look at some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 22. The first question being, summarize the main subject of this chapter based upon the chapter heading. The main subject of this chapter based upon the chapter heading. Adam.
The obligation of having iman in the last day and the punishment and pleasure.
Faith. The obligation of having iman, having faith in the last day, as well as what it contains or what it entails of punishment and pleasure. Second question. Mention the description of the mu'allif, the author, for how the believers will see Allah on Yawm Qiyamah. How did he describe? Naam, Amir.
The believers will see him with their eyes.
The believers will see him with their eyes. Uh-huh.
Just as they see the sun on a clear day.
Just as you see the sun on a clear day. Naam. Naam. Hussein? Hussein? MashaAllah. Naam.
The believers will also see him as you see the full moon without clearness.
Type. Just as you see the full moon in the middle of the month, naam, without any difficulty, naam. Naam?
Also said that the believer will see Allah subhanahu
wa
ta'ala twice.
Taib, we didn't come to that yet, inshallah. Taib. So next question, what are the two occasions mentioned, two occasions or places mentioned by the mu'allif, by the author, when the believers will see Allah? Naam? The day of standing, Qiyamah, and also in Jannah, after the entry into the paradise. Now, question number 4, how has the Mu'allif summarized everything that is included in having faith in Al-Yawm Al-Akhir? How has he summarized everything that's included in having iman in Al-Yawm Al-Akhir? How has he summarized it? Naam, what is your name, brother?
Saud.
Saud, yes, Saud. Naam.
Everything that happened after death that the Prophet has informed us about, whatever happens at the time of death and after that, and also we believe in the trial and the grave.
Okay, so he summarized it by what? Part of that is the trials in the grave, naam. But he summarized it saying what? Everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us of that will take place after death. Everything that takes place after death, as part of, including the what happens in the grave, the actual resurrection, and what happens after the resurrection. All of that is included in having iman in al-yawm al-akhir. Question number 5. How has the mu'allif explained what is intended by fitnatul qabr, the test or trial of the grave? What is intended by fitnatul qabr? Ahmed.
The three questions.
What is intended by fitnatul qabr are the three questions that a person will be asked in the grave. Three questions that will be asked in the grave. Naam. Tayyib. Mention the 6 main events that the mu'allif has included in al-qiyamah al-kubra. The 6 main events that he mentions, at least in this chapter, as a part of Al-Qiyamah Al-Kubra. Wali, Abdul Wali.
The souls will return to their bodies.
Souls will be returned to their bodies. 1.
The people will rise up from their graves.
And the people will rise up from the graves. 2.
The sun will be close and the sweat will come up to the sun.
The sun will be so close that it will cause people to sweat. Some people, the sweat will come up to their mouths. Naam.
The scales will be laid out and the deeds will be weighed.
The scales will be laid out, set up, established, and the deeds of the people will be weighed.
The scrolls will be handed handed out.
The scrolls, yani the records of people's deeds, will be distributed to the people. Now.
And Allah will judge the creation.
And then Allah will judge the creation. Question number 7. How has the Mu'allif described the accounting of the deeds of the kuffar that will be different from the believers? Yani what is the difference between how the believers... I'm trying to look for somebody who we didn't see yet. Somebody we didn't see yet. Anybody who didn't answer a question yet would like to answer? Hanif. Okay, the disbelievers will not be able to see him. This, you know, we said that there's some difference of opinion about this, but that is more probably the more correct opinion. Now, but the difference in the way account will be taken. I don't know which one of you is the oldest. Mm-hmm. Oldest, he gets preference.
Okay, the disbelievers will take it with their left hand from behind their back.
Okay, the disbelievers will take their records. Will take their records. And we're talking about the. That's from the matters of the Yom, yani of the Day of Judgment, right? That the records of the deeds will be distributed. The records of the deeds. But here we're talking about what? We're talking about the actual accounting, the hisab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhasibu al-khalq. And what is the difference between the way he will yuhasib al-mu'min, how he will yuhasib al-kafir? What's the difference? Now,
I was going to say, they don't have an account of good deeds, so they will be punished on...
Okay, so they won't. The believers, their deeds will be weighed, their good deeds and their bad deeds. So either their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds, or their bad deeds will, but as far as the disbelievers, they won't have any weighing of good deeds and bad deeds because they don't have any good deeds. Now, you want to add something?
Also, they'll be exposed.
Okay, they'll also be exposed. The main point here that we want to emphasize, and there are some other matters that perhaps could also be mentioned, but the main thing is that they're not going to have any good deeds to weigh. Yani, whatever thing that could be considered good that they did in this world, Allah rewards them in this world. As far as the Yawm al-Qiyamah, their kufra and their evil deeds destroyed everything. So they will have nothing but evil deeds to be counted and to be punished for. Now, okay, so these are some of the matters that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we want to continue with this chapter with very, very brief commentary of Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And at the end of his commentary, he mentions a point related to Allah, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his accounting of the people, and the importance of the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow any good deed to go unrewarded, however small it might be. And therefore, the emphasis that a person shouldn't take any good deed lightly as insignificant, and that we should strive and struggle to do whatever we can do, even if it is little. The last part of his commentary dealing with this matter, I think, is of critical importance, that any of these matters are not just academic issues that we are learning about, but rather, what is the application of them? Yani, how does it affect our behavior and our lives when we know that we're going to be called to account, that our deeds will be weighed, and that every good deed that a person does, however insignificant or small it may seem to be, is not going to be insignificant, and it's not going to be small on that day. Don't take it lightly. Strive and struggle to do the best that you can according to your ability. Do the best that you can according to your ability, and don't think anything insignificant. And on the other hand too, even though the Shaykh doesn't mention it, but it goes for the evil deeds as well. Okay, so we are going to be reading from page 155, from near the top, and the English translation near the top of the page, like the third line. And we're going to read from the third line from page 155 to the end of it. 161 in Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 84, also from near the top of the page, third line. So Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, after talking about in his commentary, talking about the first matter that this chapter deals with, what was the first matter this chapter deals with? I didn't hear what you said.
The things that will happen at the time of death.
The first thing that this chapter talked about.
The believers will see their Lord.
That the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After discussing that matter, now he turns to the other matters that came in reference to, yani, that which happens in the grave, the actual major resurrection, and what would take place after that. And by the way, those events of the after the resurrection continue. And it's not just what's mentioned in this chapter, but he also mentions after this chapter other matters in the next two chapters. So he says from the top of page 84, وَمِنْ أُصُولَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ الْإِيمَانِ بِكُلِّ مَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِهِ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَالْحِسَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ كُلُّ هَذَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ خِلَافًا لِأَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ. That from the fundamentals of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to have Iman in everything that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have informed us about. From the fundamentals, from the usul, foundations of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to have Iman in everything that Allah and His Messenger has informed us about. From the affair of the hereafter, the paradise, the hellfire, the hisab, the accounting, yani that people will be called to account, deeds, yani will be accounted for. Wal jaza, and that people will be rewarded, yani with good for the good that they did, and otherwise for other deeds. All of this, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in it. All of this, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in it. Contrary to the Ahl Bid'ah, the people of innovation, who don't believe in all of these things, and who have given their own explanations in rejection of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have informed us about. The first thing that the Shaykh talks about, and he's just passing over these matters that we discussed last week, the first thing that he talks about is what happens in the grave. What happens in the grave. And there are two things that we're talking about in the grave, and he mentions both of those things. What are the two things that we talked about that take place in the grave? The questioning in the grave, the fitna til qabr, and also the punishment and the pleasure. So he says, وَمِنْ ذَٰلِكَ, yani from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have informed us about concerning the hereafter, from that is الْإِيمَانِ بِأَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَنَعِيمِهِ. أَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَنَعِيمِهِ, yani the punishment of the grave, or it should be الْإِيمَانِ بِأَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَنَعِيمِهِ. نعم. Having faith in the punishment that would take place in the grave, and that the people will be punished in the grave, and also there will be na'im, and there will be pleasure, there will be, as the translator has translated, bliss, yani a state of happiness and joy, pleasure, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow a person to experience as the beginning of their reward, even while they're in the grave, before they enter into the paradise. He said, أهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بذلك. The people of Sunnah believe in this. Yani believe in the punishment in the grave and the pleasure. فيؤمنون بأذاب القبر ونعيمه. They believe in the punishment of the grave and its pleasure. وأن الناس يفتنون في قبورهم. And that the people will be, yani will experience a fitna. And some of the scholars said that the meaning of fitna, linguistically, is اختبار or امتحان. It means a test. What is intended here, though, is what he says here, فَيُقَالُ لِلْرَجُلِ. It will be said to a man, and that means whether it's a male or a female, yani it means a person. It will be said to them, مَنْ رَبُّكَ وَمَا دِينُكَ وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكَ. Yani the fitna of the grave is the ikhtibar, the imtihan, the questioning that will take place in the grave from the two angels, Munkar and Nakir. That they will question a person, man or woman. They will question a person with three questions. Who is your Rabb? And what is your deen? And who is your prophet? Yani who is your Rabb that you worshipped? That worship was exclusively for him. And what is your deen? Yani the way. Yani the governing of your actions by which you worshipped him. And who is your prophet? The one who you followed? Yani in observing that which Allah has commanded and prohibited to in the worship of Allah. And just a note here that one of the very important books dealing with this topic is Al-Usul Al-Thalatha or Thalathatul Usul by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, in which he talks about these three fundamentals. Yani, who is your Rabb? What is your deen? And who is your prophet? And some of the scholars have given extensive explanations of this book. It's very, very important. He says that the fitna of the grave, the people will be tested in their graves. The person will be asked, who is your Rabb? What is your deen? Who is your prophet? فيثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. So Allah, the Shaykh says, Allah will make the believers, He will make them, and He will make them firm with a firm word, القول الثابت, يعني meaning the word of كلمة التوحيد, لا إله إلا الله, in this world and in the next life, in this world and in the next life. And He will lead astray. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, يعني the ظالمين, يعني the kuffar, the mushrikeen. Most of the time in the Quran, the ظالمون are the mushrikeen. يعني it is the greatest type of ظلم, يعني worshipping something besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or along with Him. He said, and this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 27th Ayat, يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. That Allah will make firm those who believe with a firm word, that is كلمة التوحيد, in the life of this world and in the hereafter. And Allah will lead astray the ظالمين, the wrongdoers, the disbelievers, يعني He will not allow them to answer the questions from the test in the grave. And Allah does whatever He wills. Now here I just want to make a quick note that I think is of great benefit. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his commentary on this book, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, he says that the two things in the grave, the first of them is the fitna of the qabr, and then he talks about that, and then he says al-iman, yani what is intended by it is al-iman bi su'al al-malakain wajibu li thubutihi ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ahadith yablughu majmu'aha had at-tawatur, yani that having iman in the questioning of the two angels questioning the person in the grave, it is obligatory because it has been confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many hadith that it reached the level of being mutawatir. I mean, there's no question about its authenticity. And then he says, وَيُضُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And this questioning in the grave is indicated in the Quran itself, in the saying of Allah, Allah will make firm those who believe with a firm word in this world and in the hereafter. And He will lead astray the wrongdoers, and He does whatever He wills. He says this, yani this questioning in the grave is confirmed in this ayat of the Quran. فَقَدْ أَخْرَجَ الشَّيْخَانِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ الْبَرَاءِ بْنِ عَازِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. That he said the two sheikhs, yani al-Bukhari and Muslim, have collected in their authentic collections from the hadith of al-Bara' ibn Yazid, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet of Allah said concerning this ayah, he said concerning this ayah, that it is, yani, nazalat fi azab al-qabr. Yani that this ayah is in reference to the punishment in the grave and the question in the grave. Imam Muslim narrates it with more clarity, where he says, يُقَالُ لَهُ, in the narration of Imam Muslim from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يُقَالُ لَهُ مَنْ رَبُّكَ فَيُقُولُ رَبِّي اللَّهُ. Yani, it will be said to that person, to a person in the grave, this question in the grave, who is your Rabb? And the believer will say, my Rabb is Allah, wa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. Yani, that this questioning in the grave, that is what is intended by the statement of Allah, that Allah will make firm, yani, those who believe. Yani, at the time of their questioning in the grave, He will enable them to answer the questions, whether disbeliever, He will lead them astray, and they will be unable to answer the questions, as we mentioned, yani in the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah last week. So I thought that this is important to mention this, because this ayat in the Quran is we are informed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that this ayat is in reference to the questioning in the grave and the punishment in the grave. After this, after the mention of this ayat, the Shaykh, he says, so the believer will say, yani at this time of questioning, the believer will say, my Rabb is Allah, and Islam is my deen, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my prophet. But as for al-murtab al-kafir, fayakulu ha, la adri. Al-munafiq wal-kafir. Yani both of them are the people who are, the murtab means the person who was in doubt or unsure. And he would say, I don't know. And in the narration of the hadith, he said, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in what we read last week, he would say, I heard the people saying something, and I said the same thing. And he didn't believe in it. But he just heard the people saying something, and he said the same thing. But he won't be able to answer the question now, because it wasn't something that was in his heart. The Shaykh says, Al-Munafiq wal-Kafir. Both of them are intended by Al-Murtab, the one who is unsure. The Munafiq and the Kafir. And here the Shaykh distinguishes, what is the difference between the Munafiq and the Kafir? Al-Munafiq alladhi azhara al-Islam. Wa huwa kafir. Yani the Munafiq is the person who openly displays Islam while he is in fact a Kafir. While he is in fact a Kafir. As opposed to the Kafir, the regular Kafir, yani, as the Shaykh says here, al-kafir as-sarih, yani the kafir who is clear about his kufr. And he doesn't pretend to be anything except a kafir. But the hypocrite, he pretends, he openly displays Islam like he is a Muslim, while in fact, he's just a kafir. So the Shaykh is saying here, the munafiq, the one who is deceiving, who is trying to deceive the people with some display of Islam, and the regular kafir who is clear about his kufr, this is what is intended by the person who is Murtab, who is unsure, who is uncertain, who is in doubt. فَيَقُولُ هَا لَا أَدْرِي سَمَعْتُ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا فَقُلْتُهُ. He'll say, Nani, to the questions, I don't know. I don't know. I heard the people saying something, and I said it. Yani the same thing. فَيُضْرَبُ بِمِرْزَبَّةٍ وَمِرْزَبَةٍ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. So he will be struck with a rod of iron. The scholars in the explanation of this hadith say that it will be a large iron hammer. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, and I think Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzan also both mentioned that it has been narrated that this large hammer is so large, such that if the people who gathered together in Mina during Hajj were to come together, they wouldn't be able to lift it. He will be hit with this iron hammer. فَيَصِيحُ سَيْحَةً يَسْمَعُهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الْإِنسَانِ. And everything in the creation will hear his screaming. He will scream with a scream that everything and everyone will hear except the human beings. وَلَوْ سَمِيَهَا الْإِنسَانِ لَسُعِقَ وَلَسَعِقَ. And both of them have the same meaning. In some books it's written as, yani with the vowelling of su'iqa, and in some of them sa'iqa. In any case, both of them have the same meaning. Yani if the human being were to hear this scream of the person who is being punished in the grave, it would cause him to become unconscious, or it would cause him to die. It will cause him to die. That's how, yani, some of the scholars have explained it, that it means it will cause him to fall unconscious or cause him to die. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, a person wouldn't be able to bear the sound of that scream. It will cause him to fall dead. That's how serious is going to be this punishment. And this is a reason for a person, yani, who believes that this is true, to fear these events, to fear the questioning in the grave, and to prepare oneself to be able to answer those questions. Not like you study for an exam, that you just memorize something whether you believe it or not, but you have to believe it, you have to live by it. A person has to live by it, has to worship Allah alone, according to Islam and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثُمَّ يَبْقَى الْإِنسَانُ إِمَّا فِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِمَّا فِي عَذَابٍ. Then the person will remain, after this questioning in the grave, then a person will remain either in yani pleasure, in a state of bliss, or in punishment. Person will remain in that condition. فَالْمُؤْمِنُ فِي نَعِيمٍ تُنْقَلُ رُوحُهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْكَافِرُ تُنْقَلُ رُوحُهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. So the believer, he will be in this state of pleasure or bliss, and his ruh, his spirit, will be carried to the paradise. And the kafir, his spirit will be, or his soul will be carried to the hellfire. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the people of the hellfire from the people of Fir'aun. From the people of Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghafir 46 ayat, النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا. Yani that the hellfire, these disbelievers would be exposed to it in the morning and in the afternoon. ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. And when the hour is established, yani the resurrection, then they will be ordered to be, yani the Ali Fir'aun, they will be ordered to be to enter into a shadd al-azab, yani a more severe punishment. Yani they will be punished in the grave, and then they will be in the more severe punishment of the hellfire. ثم تقوم القيامة الكبرى بعد هذه الفتنة. The Sheikh says, and then القيامة الكبرى, يعني the major resurrection or the major judgment will take place. And some of the scholars said, so it is called القيامة الكبرى because there is also القيامة الصغرى. The minor judgment or minor resurrection is for every individual when they die. That's the beginning of their judgment. And the major resurrection is when all people will be resurrected together and judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani including these events that we have mentioned. He said, after this, yani after the questioning in the grave and the people being in a state of bliss or in a state of pleasure and a state of punishment, then yani they will remain in that condition until the hour, until the Al-Qiyam Al-Kubra, the major judgment or the major resurrection takes place, yani after this fitna. وَيَقُومُ النَّاسُ مِنْ كُبُورِهِمْ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. The people, from the things yani that will occur yani after the two events of the grave, is that the people will rise up from their graves barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised. The Shaykh says, يَرُدُّ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجِسَامَهُمْ وَيُبَعَثُونَ, yani their bodies will be returned to them. Or يُرُدُّ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ, yeah, Allah will return their bodies to them. Meaning, as Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the souls will be returned to the body. Yani the soul and the body will be joined together again. And then they will be resurrected. كَمَا خَلَقَهُمْ, yani they will be resurrected just as Allah created them the first time. هُفَاتًا, meaning لَا نِعَالَ لَهُمْ, they wouldn't have any shoes or footwear. أُرَاتًا, meaning لَا كِسْوَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ, they wouldn't have any clothing upon them. غُرْلًا, meaning that they will be uncircumcised. يَقُومُونَ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and they will stand up, they will rise up before the Lord of all the worlds. وَيُحَاسِبُونَ اللَّهَ الْخَلَائِقَ, and then Allah will take account of the creation. And there's some discussion concerning this in some of the more detailed explanations, but the important thing is that people will be judged. Yani people will be judged. And there are two types of hisab, the hisab for the believer and the hisab for the kafir. Allah will take the account of the creation, Jalla wa Ala. وَتُنْسَبُ الْمَوَازِينَ, the scales, yani to weigh the deeds of the people, will be set up. وَتُوزَنُ فِيهَا أَعْمَالَ الْإِبَادِ, and the deeds, the actions of the people will be weighed in those scales, in the balance. Yani good deeds and evil deeds, this is the hisab of the believers. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ السَّعِيدِ, so whoever's scales are heavy, meaning heavy with good deeds, their good deeds outweighing their evil deeds, then he will be a Sa'id. And the translator translated as being happy. It's more than being happy. They will be the successful, those who are fortunate, the people who will yani be entering the paradise, yani whose deeds, good deeds, outweigh their evil deeds. He said, وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ الْحَالِكُ, but whoever's scales are light, meaning their good deeds are light, are few, and their evil deeds outweigh them, then he will be destroyed. وَتُنْشَرُ الصُّحُفُ, and then the suhuf, yani the records, the scrolls, the records of the deeds of the people will be distributed. وَتُوزَعُ بَيْنَهُمْ, yani each person will be given yani their record. فَآخِذٌ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, so there will be some who will take his book in his right hand. وَآخِذٌ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ, and there will be some who will take his book in his left hand. أو من وراء ظهري, or from behind his back, كما بُيِّن في القرآن, should be بُيِّن as it has been made clear in the Quran. And some people will be given their books, they will take it with their right hand, and some people will take it with their left hands or behind their backs. And most of the scholars explain that the Quran mentions both of these descriptions for the disbelievers, that they will take their book in the left hand or that they will take their book behind their back, and there's no contradiction because the scholars say that the kafir, yani, will be made, his hand, his left hand will be forced behind his back, so he will take his book in his left hand behind his back. Then the Shaykh talks about, yani, the al-hisab, yani, the difference between the hisab of the believers and the kafir. He says, عَمَّ الْكُفَّارِ فَلَا يُحَاسَبُونَ مُحَاسَبَةَ من توزنوا حسناته وسيئته. Yani the disbelievers, they will not be called to account with an accounting, the accounting of the one whose good deeds and evil deeds will be weighed. That's not the account that they will get. Yani the accounting of one whose good deeds and evil deeds will be weighed. No. لأنهم ليس لهم حسنات. Because they don't have any good deeds. لا حسنات لهم. They absolutely have no good deeds. Their deeds have been destroyed by their kufr and their evil actions. ولكن تحصى عليهم أعمالهم. But rather, their deeds would be enumerated, would be counted. ويقرون بها ويجزون بها. And then they would be forced to acknowledge, to confess to their sins. And then they will be rewarded for them. Yani, the Shaykh says, rewarded for them, meaning, يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. And they will be driven into the fire. They will be driven into the fire. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, تُحْصَى عَلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Yani, their deeds will be counted, enumerated. وَيَعْتَرِفُونَ بِهَا. And they will confess, they will acknowledge them. They will be made to acknowledge. And the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in having the deeds of the people recorded so that there's a record that a person is going to see. They're going to read their record. Weighing their deeds so they can see the weight of their good deeds and their evil deeds. To see the perfect justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person will be able to read his own. He said they will be forced to acknowledge, yani their sins. ثُمَّ يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. And then they would be driven to the hellfire. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yani in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 71st Ayah, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Yani that those who disbelieved, they will be driven to the hellfire in groups. زُمْرَةً بَعْدَ زُمْرَةً. Yani one group after another. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ. The Shaykh says, and we ask Allah to grant us protection and safety and security from the hellfire. بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ الْخَبِيثَةِ وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani that they will be driven to the hellfire due to their evil, filthy deeds and their disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Justice, perfect justice. And here, I just want to make a note, a personal note, that some of us, not many of you, it may not be applicable to you, but some of us have family members who are not Muslims. And if there are people that we have love for, we should take this matter seriously. Not just for ourselves, but for the people that we love. Because if we can call them to Islam, they can be saved from this punishment. And if we don't call them to Islam, it will just be regret. There's nothing that can be done. And if the matter is that serious, person dies upon kufr, the matter is finished. Unless they be from those who didn't know the truth, Islam, and it never was brought to them, then they will be from the Ahlul Fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's a different matter altogether. But we're talking about people who heard about Islam. And we need to convince them of the truth of Islam to save them from eternal punishment in the hellfire. Then the Shaykh talks about the people of the paradise. The people of the paradise. وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فَيُسَاقُونَ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ مُكْرَمِينَ وَفْدًا زُمْرًا. Zumara. As for the people of the paradise, so they will be taken to the paradise, mukramina, yani in a state of honor. And if the translator translated as the honored paradise, but actually, mukramina is in reference to the condition, the state of the people who will be taken to paradise. Not the paradise is honored, the people will be honored by being admitted into paradise. Yusakun ila jannah, mukramina, waftan, zumuran. Yani it will be brought in delegations and groups. Bada khalasihim min al mawqif. وبعد مرورهم على الصراط وبعد خلاصهم من الأرصة التي يقفون عليها يساقون إلى الجنة وفدا كل يصل منزله وهو عالم به من منزله من الدنيا يقصدون منازلهم التي أعدها الله لهم بعد انتهائهم من الأرصة التي سيأتي ذكرها إن شاء الله. So the Shaykh is saying here now, as far as the people of paradise, that they will be taken to the paradise in a state of honor, in groups, after they have been free from the mawqif, the place of standing, the place of standing. After they have passed over the sirat, And this is going to be mentioned in the coming chapters. وَبَعْدَ خَلَاصِهِمْ مِنَ الْأَرْسَى الَّتِي يُوقَفُونَ عَلَيْهِ. After they have been freed from the open plain, where they will be caused to stand, yani, for judgment. They will be taken to the paradise in groups, and every person, yani, will reach his manzil, yani, his place, his home in paradise. Every person will reach his manzil. And he will know that place in paradise better than he knows his home in this world. يَقْصُدُونَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Here, yani, the translation is a little bit, I think, yani, a little bit inaccurate. But what is intended here, it says, what is intended by manazilahum? It's not what is intended, but they themselves would be, yani, يَقْصُدُونَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. They would go directly to their places, yani, with clear intent. They know where they are going. Those places which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them, yani, in Jannah. After they have, yani, finished from the place of standing. And then he says, yani, يَقْصُدُونَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ أَلَّتِي أَعَدَّحَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَلَّتِي سَيَأَتِي ذِكْرُهَا إِنْشَاءَ. Yani, the meaning here is what? That they will go to their places in the paradise that Allah has prepared for them. Yani, those places that the mention of it is coming, inshallah. Yani, in the future chapters. This will be talked about in detail. Because in the chapters that come, it's going to be the Hawd, and it's going to be the Sirat, and it's going to be the entry into paradise and the Shafa'at, different types of shafa and so on. And so this is from the things that will be mentioned afterwards. Well, maqsood in the hadha sha'n yawm al-qiyamah. Yani, so what is intended by all of this discussion? Yani, the shaykh is saying, what is intended by this discussion is that this is the importance and the significance of yawm al-qiyamah. هذا شأن يوم القيامة. أن هذا شأن يوم القيامة. Yani, this is what is going to be happening on the day of resurrection, on the day of standing. يوم عظيم, a great magnificent day. مقداره 50,000 سنة. Yani, the measure of this day, yani, its length will be equal to the length of 50,000 years of the time in this world. It will be equal to the length of 50,000 years. يوم عصير على الكافرين. It will be an extremely difficult day for the disbelievers. يسير على المؤمنين. And it will be made easy for the people of Iman. وفي وسطه, يعني, and in the middle of that day, تنتهي الناس. يعني, the people will reach their places. He mentions the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 24th ayah. أصحاب الجنة يومئذ خير مستقرا وأحسن مقيلا. Yani, the people of paradise, أصحاب الجنة. Yani, at midday the people will reach their places. So he mentions this ayat that the people of Jannah on that day, yani يوم القيامة, they will be in the best places. Yani, best place to reside in, best abode. وأحسن مقيلا, and they will be in the best place. Yani, here, I think the meaning of maqila is, yani, the place where a person will take their midday rest. Yani, the qailula. Then he says, yantahuna ila jannah. Yani, that the people by midday, fi wasatihi, by midday, the people will end up in Jannah. Yani, the people of Jannah will end up in Jannah, qabla al-maqil. Yani, before the time of the midday rest, al-qailula. فأهل الجنة في مقيلهم في الجنة. Yani, the people of Jannah will be in their place of rest where they take their midday rest. وأهل النار في مقيلهم في النار. And the people of the hellfire will be in their place by midday in the hellfire. نسأل الله العافية. And the Shaykh says, we ask Allah, yani, for العافية, yani, for safety and security and well-being from the hellfire. And it seems as though, yani, on page 86, a new paragraph starts, but it seems as though this new paragraph, the first line, or the first words, are part of the previous line. Yani, in other words, the people of paradise will be in their maqil, in Jannah, and the people of hellfire will be in their maqil, in the hellfire. قَدْ فُرِغَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ. Yani, they have been finished from their accounting. And they will be in their place, in the paradise, or in the hellfire. Then he says, should be a new paragraph here. وربك جل وعلا هو الحكم العدل يعني and your رب جل وعلا he is the just judge the perfectly just judge in terms of the accounting لا يظلم مثقال ذرة يعني he will not wrong a person even in the amount of the weight of an atom or a small ant not even that small amount however we can imagine what that is the weight of an atom maybe somebody who's a science teacher can tell us a little bit about the weight of an atom but we know that the weight of an atom what is intended here is something extremely 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 small that almost weighs nothing that almost weighs nothing Allah would not wrong a person even in that small amount and this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nisa 4th surah 40th ayat إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ that Allah would not wrong a person even in the amount of the weight of an atom or a very small ant and if I remember correctly and I read it a long time ago I hope my memory serves me if I'm wrong may Allah forgive me but I do remember reading long time ago more than 30 years ago in the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari by Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani and the reason why I remember it because I translated it that he said that this weight of an atom is the weight of a small ant this ant is the ant that 100 of them is like the weight of a mustard seed to give us some kind of idea what are we talking about otherwise like what do we really mean we just know that is something very very small He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not wrong a person, even يعني, in the amount of the weight of an atom or a small ant. وَإِن تَقُوا حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِي مِن لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا And even if it is a good deed, whatever يعني, will be its weight, however small it may be, Allah will multiply it, He will double it, and He will bring from Himself Yani a great magnificent reward. Yani for what? For something that's the weight of an atom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it, its reward. And He will bring Yani for it from Himself, Yani from His bounty and His favor, and His generosity and His kindness, a magnificent great reward. Wa yaqulu subhanahu and Allah the Most High, Yani the one who's free from imperfections. He says in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 47th Ayah, وَنَدَعُوا الْمَوَازِنَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ Here, this ayah, the shaykh is bringing what to show us again Yani the perfect justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that He doesn't wrong anyone, not even a little bit. Allah said we will set up the scales, the balances, yani for weighing the people's deeds, the just scales for the day of resurrection, the day of accounting, the day of judgment. And no soul will be wronged at all in any amount, even if it is the weight of a mustard seed. We will bring it. And we are sufficient. Yani to take account. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable and able and sufficient to call account even for the smallest deed. The smallest amount of Yani deed that a person has done. Here, the Shaykh mentions another ayat. And here I want to note that this ayat he mentions in this paragraph twice. The ayat I'm going to read right now. He mentions it twice. In the translation of the book, they went to the second mention of it and skipped what was in between. And he mentions the ayah and then he talks about it. And then he mentions it again and then he mentions the hadith of Ibn Umar. So what's in between the first mention of this ayah and the second mention of it is not mentioned in the translation. Okay, so make a note of that. And just so that you know that all of this discussion that comes after the first mention of this ayah is missing from the translation. So he says, he mentions this ayah the first time. Yani he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Zalzala, 98th Surah, 7th and 8th Ayat, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. That whoever does a deed that's equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant of good, he will see it. And he will see it, meaning he will see the record of it, it will be weighed, and he will be rewarded for it. He will see its reward. Even if it is what? The weight of an atom. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does a deed that's equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant of evil, he will also see it. So this works both ways. Yani a person is encouraged that every good that they do, none of it will be lost. But also know that whatever we do of evil, it will also not be lost. Unless Allah pardons and forgives, and Allah is pardoning and forgiven. But it's better that a person repent. Better that a person repent. After this mention of the ayat, the Shaykh has some commentary, and then he mentions the ayat again. Now, what came from here until we mention the ayat again is omitted from the English translation. He says, "Unzur ba'da dhalika kam yakunu mathaqil al-dhar." So look, consider, think about, after this, think about the mathaqil of the dhar, yani the units of weight of an atom. Think about how many they are. Yani how many units of the weight of an atom is in anything? Think about how many they are. Thousands, millions, what? Think about this, he's saying. Look at this. Think about it. Consider it. إِذَا تَصَدَّقْتَ بِرِيَالٍ. Yani if you just gave charity one rial, and one rial is equal to 25 cents or something like that. If a person gave one rial, or luqma, or tamra, or they gave just a morsel of food, or a date, yani a date, a tamr, كَمْ فِيهَا مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ. How many units of the weight of an atom is contained in that one morsel of food, or that one date, or that one rial? How much it contains of good that will be in a person's favor on Yawm al-Qiyamah? لُقْمَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ تُعْتِيهَا لِلْفَقِيرِ. Yani a morsel of food, one morsel of food that a person gives to a poor person. Yani don't think it insignificant. Or a date. Kam tazinu min dharratin. How much will it weigh? Yani, from the units of the weight of an atom. That small amount of good that a person does. If it is like that, yani, if it is that much, that it's going to be weighed, that it's going to be accounted for, and it's going to be rewarded in something like one date, or a mouthful of food, or a rial. فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ يَتَصَدَّقُ بِأَمْوَالِ الْجَزِيلَةِ. What about the person who gives charity of an abundance of wealth? وَطَعَامْ كَثِيرٌ, or much food, yani feeds many people. And there are lots of Muslims in the world today who need a food. And we should think about this. Because this is a chance for you to give to people who are in need, who are in dire need. And how much yani it will be weighed for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, سَوْفَ يَجِدُ ذَلِكَ. Yani the person who gives this, he will find it. إِذَا أَخْلَصَ لِلَّهِ وَصَدَقَ فِي ذَلِكَ. Yani with the condition that a person does it with ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah. And with sidq, truthfulness. Then a person will find that reward. And now he mentions the ayat again, and everything since the last mention up until here is deleted from the English translation. So whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, its reward. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it as well. Here the Shaykh mentions hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, and there's some discussion in the footnote concerning this hadith. In any case, we're going to look at the meaning of it. And the meaning of it is authentic, for sure, even if yani may have come in a different narration, yani slightly different wording. He says, وَيُرْوَىٰ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And it has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, أَنَّهُ تَصَدَّقَ بِحَبَّةِ عِنَبٍ. And what I understand, yani the meaning of حَبَّةِ الْعِنَبِ, and from the hadith that's mentioned in the footnote, it becomes even more clear that what is intended here is one grape. Habbat al-inab, one grape. A person gives charity of one grape فَقِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ يعني Ibn Umar says, and it was mentioned from Ibn Umar that he gave charity and he gave a grape. فَقِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ مَا قِيمَتُهَا. So it was said to him concerning that, so what is the worth of this? And what is this, what is this equal to? What does this amount to? What is its value? And he said, كَمْ تَزِنُ هَذِهِ الْحَبَّةُ مِنْ مَثَاقِيلِ الذَّرِ. And if we look at its weight, how much will this habba, this one grape, how much will it weigh? And in terms of the units of the weight of an atom, how much will it weigh? And he's saying, somebody's saying, what is the value of this? It's valuable. It's extremely valuable. In the footnote, people who checked the book, they said, we didn't find this narration of Ibn Umar with this meaning, but we found it, any similar meaning from Aisha radiallahu anha, with the wording that a poor person asked her for some food, and she had with her some dates, عِنَب. فَقَالَتْ لِإِنسَانِ, she said to a person, خُذْ حَبَّ, and take one, حَبَّ, yani one of those dates, and give it to him. So the person began to look at it, yani in amazement, yani, she said, are you amazed? Yani, كَمْ تَرَى فِي هَذِي الْحَبَّةِ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةِ, yani how much do you think is in this one grape of units of weight equal to the weight of an atom? So the meaning is there. The same meaning, the point is what? That something very, very small that people may consider insignificant is weighty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will help a person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Well, maqsood. So what is intended here? Yani the point is, أن الإنسان لا يحتقر الصدقة, yani that a person should not think little or insignificant of charity, ولو قلت, even if it is small in amount, حسب طاقته, a person gives according to one's ability, يتصدق بريال, a person gives 1 rial in charity if that's what they have to give, or 5 rials, or a mouthful of food or a morsel of food that they give to the person who asked, yani for something to eat, a date or 2 dates or other than that. The point is what? That a person shouldn't think, yani shouldn't look down or despise any amount of good that they're able to do. A person does according to their ability. Whoever is able to do more should do more. A person who has little should do what they can do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it. And Allah will give a tremendous reward for whatever a person does, if they do it with ikhlas and sidq. If they do it sincerely for the sake of Allah and truthfully for the sake of Allah. Then the Shaykh says, I have mentioned, yani sabaqa an dhakarna lakum ghayr marra, I have mentioned to you more than once, anna imra'atan sa'ilatan ja'at ila bayt nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'aha ibnatani laha. Yani a woman asking, yani begging, came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with her were her 2 daughters. Qalat Aisha radiallahu anha, so Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, فَلَمْ تَجِدْ فِي الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا 3 tamarat. And I didn't find in the house except 3 dates. صَادَفَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا 3 tamarat. And it happened that she had nothing to give except 3 dates. That's all there was in the house. فَأَخَذَتْهَا وَسَلَّمَتْهَا لِلْمَرْأَ سَائِلَ. So she took them and she gave them to the woman who came asking. So the woman دفعت, يعني فدفعت المرأة لكل واحدة من ابنتيها تمرة وأخذت الثالثة لتأكلها. So the woman gave to each one of her daughters one of the dates, and she took the 3rd one to eat herself. فاستطعمتها ابنتاها التمرة الثالثة. And then her 2 daughters requested from her the 3rd date that she was going to eat herself. صارتا أسرى منها, they quickly, yani they were faster than her. أكلتا تمرتيهما, they ate their 2 dates quickly. وطلبتا الثالثة, and then they asked her for the 3rd one that was for the mother. فشقتها بينهما نصفين, so she split it between the 2 of them, half and half. ولم تأكل شيئا, and she didn't eat anything herself. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها فأعجبني شأنها فلما جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكبرته بشأنها. She said, I was amazed at her action, at her affair. يعني how this lady was begging for something to eat and was given 3 dates and she gave each of her children one of them and had one to eat for herself and they asked for that and she gave that to them as well. She said, I was amazed. So when the Prophet ﷺ came, I informed him about this lady and what she had done. فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ قَدْ أَوْجَبَ لَهَا بِهَا الْجَنَّةَ. He said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory for her the paradise due to this action of hers. يعني, the Shaykh says, what action? يعني بهذه الرحمة. رحمت ابنتيها. يعني this mercy that she showed, mercy towards her two daughters. وشقت التمرة بينهما. يعني she divided the one date that she had for herself, يعني between the two of her daughters. ولم تأكل شيئا. And she didn't eat anything herself. The Shaykh closes here saying, هذا يدل على أن الصدقة ولو بالقليل عن إخلاص عن صدق فيه خير كثير. This indicates to us, يعني this hadith is an indication that charity, even if it is in a small amount, if it is given sincerely for the sake of Allah, يعني with صدق, truthfulness, then it contains a lot of good. What is the lot of good that it contained? Yani her splitting the half of day between her two daughters, paradise. And there's no more good than that. Khayran kathir. The Shaykh, he says, والمهم أن تتصدق بما تيسر. Yani what is important is that a person gives charity according to what they are able to do. Yani what is easy for them. Every person according to their ability. And there's no excuse for anyone, for any of us, to not give charity all the time, regularly, every day. And how would we not, when we have much more than what we need? SubhanAllah. And what is important, however little it may be, that a person gives charity with that which is easy for them. The one who is able to give 100 riyals, and he can give 100 riyals. And the one who is able to give 1,000 riyals can give 1,000 riyals. And the one who is only able to give a rial gives a rial. And the one who is able to give a date or a morsel of food or a garment or other than that, and every person according to what they find easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taghabun, 64th Surah, 16th Ayat, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So observe taqwa of Allah according to your ability. Do what you are able to do. And then the Shaykh closes with mentioning the ayah from Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 47th Ayat, وَنَدَعُوا الْمَوَازِنَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we shall set up the mawazin, the scales for weighing the deeds, the just scales for the day of Qiyamah. And no soul will be wrong in the least amount, in any amount. And if it was the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it and we are sufficient. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى in taking account. The Shaykh says, نسأل الله أن يوفق الجميع. And we ask Allah to grant success to us all. This is the end of what يعني the Shaykh mentioned. And I'm just going to take a couple of minutes. Like I know it's time for the adhan right now. Inshallah, we just take a couple of quick minutes for a benefit from... Yeah, I thought we would have more time. But in any case, one benefit from the commentary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And I'm going to read through it quickly. At the beginning of the chapter dealing with Al-Iman Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir, he says that this is a chapter dealing with Iman in the day of the last day. yani iman and everything that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us would happen after the death. And he said the ruling concerning having iman in the last day is that it's fard, that it's obligatory. And its station or status is that, in this deen, is that it's one of the six pillars of iman. And often it is coupled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins iman in the last day with iman in Allah himself. Iman in the beginning, and iman in the ma'ad, the return. And that is because whoever doesn't believe in the last day, it's not possible for that person to believe in Allah. Is إِنَّ الَّذِي لَا يُؤْمِن بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ لَنْ يَعْمَلْ. Yani the person who doesn't believe in the last day, he will not act. He will not do deeds if he doesn't believe in the last day. لَنَّهُ لَا يَعْمَلْ إِلَّا لِمَا يَرْجُهُ مِنَ الْكَرَامَةِ فِي يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا يَخَافُهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَالْعُقُوبَةِ. Because a person is not doing what he's doing except that he has hope of being honored by Allah in the last day, or he has fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. فَإِذَا كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهِ. So if a person doesn't believe in the last day, then he is like those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that they said, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتِنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُحْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرُ. Yani that they didn't believe in the next life, in the resurrection and the hereafter and the counting. They said, there's nothing but our life in this world. We die and we live, and nothing will destroy us except time. Yani in time we'll die and that's the end of it. Sheikh says that the last day is called the last day. It has been given this name because there is not going to be a day after it. It is the end of the stages of the human being. He says the human being has five stages in this world. The first stage is that they didn't exist. The second stage is when they're carried by their mother in the womb. The third stage is when they came into this world. The fourth stage is the barzakh, yani the grave. And the last stage is the akhirah. And the last stage is the akhirah. Sheikh says, yani, when a person dies, and he said that the definition that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah gave, that iman in everything that the Prophet has informed us about after death, yani that all of this is part of iman in the last day, and that is because when a person dies, he enters into the last day. And this is why it is said when a person dies, his qiyamah, his judgment, his resurrection has been established. Yani because he begins to be judged with the questioning in the grave. And therefore everything after death is part of belief in Yawmul Akhir. And then the Shaykh closes with this, and this is what I really wanted to get to, of great importance. إِذَنْ مَا أَقْرَبُ الْيَوْمُ الْآخِرُ لَنَا. Yani how near is the last day to us? And if we know that, the last day begins when a person dies and death is very near. And which one of us is guaranteed to see tomorrow? How near is the day, the last day, to us? لَيْسَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَمُوتَ الْإِنسَانِ. There's nothing between us except that a person dies. Then he will enter into the last day, الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الْجَزَاءَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ. And that last day is the time in which there will be nothing there except rewards for a person's deeds. That's it. And there won't be any chance to do anything after that. It's just, you're going to be rewarded for what you did. Good for good and otherwise. وَلِهَذَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَنْتَبِهْ لِهَذِهِ النُّقْطَةِ. For this reason, it is obligatory upon us to pay attention to this point. Pay attention to this point, that death is near. يَوْمُ الْآخِرِ is near. And at that point, it's over. Except, yani that a person, yani is going to be rewarded for their deeds. He said, فَكِّرَ أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. Think about this, O human being. تجد أنك على خطأ. If you think about this matter, you find that you're in danger. Whoever thinks that they are not in danger, then they have deluded themselves. Yani, think about this matter. How near is death? And Yawmul Akhir, our judgment. If you think about it, you will find that you are in danger. لأن الموت ليس له أجل معلوم عندنا. Death doesn't have any known time. Yani, when it's going to happen, we don't know. قَدْ يَخْرُجُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ بَيْتِي وَلَا يَرْجَ إِلَيْهِ. A person might go out of his house one day and not return. A person might sit on his chair in his office and not get up from it. A person may go to sleep on his bed and then he will be carried from his bed to the bed that he's going to be washed upon. وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ يَسْتَوْجِبْ مِنَّا أَن تَنْتَحِزَ فُرْسَةُ الْأَمْرُ بِالتَّوْبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So this, yani the reflection on this matter necessitates from us that we take advantage of the opportunity that we have in this lifetime to repent to Allah عز وجل. وَأَنْ يَكُونُ الْإِنسَانِ دائما يستشعر بأنه تائب إلى الله وراجع ومنيب حتى يأتيه الأجل وهو على خير ما يرام. يعني it is incumbent upon us, this necessitates for us to take advantage of the opportunity that we have while we're in this world to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that a person constantly, always be conscious of being in a state of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returning to Him and trying to do good deeds to make up for our mistakes and errors and shortcomings, so that when the time period of a person's end in this world comes to them, they will be in the best possible condition that they could be in. Yani a person should constantly remind themselves and be conscious of their need to be in constant repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning back to Allah from our sins and our shortcomings, repenting to Him all the time, such that when the time of our death comes, we'll be in the best possible condition that a person could want to be in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds and pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, firmness and steadfastness upon Sirat al-Mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, present or absent. And that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious and admit them into the paradise and save them from the hellfire. And may Allah rescue and grant relief to the Muslims who are persecuted and tortured and being murdered in Palestine and in Sudan and in India, subhanallah, and Burma, Syria, wherever it might be that Muslims are being persecuted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief and protect them from the evil of the enemies of Islam. And Allah is sufficient to do so. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.